Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer, and special guests joining us live in studio, Bills legend, Stevie Johnson. Great to have you here. How's it going?
Yeah, good. It's really good to be back here in Buffalo. Feeling good. Feeling good.
Can I say this? You say back here in Buffalo, but you're here a lot. And right. If there's something, and I know a lot of people are right there with me on this, I just love it when I see people who, even if they're still on the team, but who played for the Bills, who played for the Sabres, maybe years ago or maybe right now, in Buffalo, enjoying time in Buffalo, in Western New York. And you're always there. I see it stuff all the time. Yeah. You got kids' books out. You're doing events here and there. And we'll talk about an event you have coming up at Sweet Home in just a little bit here. But I love to see it.
Yeah, no, it's the community, though, honestly. The community is where it all starts from, you know. And I got a glimpse of it when I was playing, you know. And that was really all that I got, because I was so really locked in on being in the game and, you know, being a athlete or a player. But when you go to those games and you see the love that they had and during the times that we had, and it was so pure. It was like, now that I'm not playing, I want to spend that time with the fans, you know, with that community that supported us and supported me during my playing times, during the ups and downs. So yeah, what we doing now is all for the community.
You watch these games now, though. You wish you were back on the field?
Always. Yeah. Always. Yeah, not even just now, but I think just as competitors or as a former athlete, you know, we've been doing this since we was 5 years old, six right. years old, in pads or on a team since about 10, you know. So, yeah, every time is NFL Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, I miss it a lot, yeah, a lot. But, you know, getting out there and doing what we do, you know, as far as, you know, our club, HBHF, and getting out there and training and being able to get involved with the student athletes mentally, is more of a holistic approach to me, you know. And doing these events that we have, like coming up on October 19th is going to be our Why So Serious Run Fest. And I say it's a holistic approach because, you know, we taking care of people mentally, physically, not necessarily just saying you have to run because you got to be active and things like that. It's because you have to see the kids have to see these events, you know, be around these people, be around these adults that got the energy and the enthusiasm to let them know that they can be the ones creating these events when they grow up. You know, that's how I ended up finding love and creating events and doing all these things coming back here to Buffalo is because what I seen when I was younger with my elders, you know, putting on events and community activation. So, you know, I'm just thankful to be able to do it here.
Yeah, that event, by the way, Saturday, October 19th, registration's open right now. It's at Sweet Home High School. That's where I went. Mm. 8 a.m. on a Saturday, perfect time to get out there, walk and run and have a little meet and greet. Yeah. Meet Stevie Johnson and have a great time. I mean, stuff like this you were just mentioning how important it is to you as a kid, not just to get active, to see people involved in the events, but you're getting to meet people from all over Western New York that, like you said, you probably didn't have that much time to do in your playing days.
Yeah, yeah. And even being able to collab with Bradley Dean, a.k.a. Uncle Bradley, that's something huge because his community is a community of motivation, a community of activation, and it started with just one podcast, and it turned into an entire event. You know what I'm saying? Supporting the community, supporting the at-risk youth and communities, and that's what we're trying to bring to the kids. Let them know that this all started from a spark. You know, some kids might think like life is. It's so big, it's a big task, but really all it starts with one spark, one communication, one conversation, or one smile to get this person to say, hey, this. And then now it might lead to something even more, you know, and that's just our approach with it, you know, trying to do what we can to uplift.
And as Brian said, it'll be October 19th, right down the street, Sweet Home High School. And 8 o'clock, okay, there's going to be the run or the walk, whatever you want to do. And then there's you got local vendors, you've got activities there. What to expect when we get there, Stevie, 8 a.m. on October 19th.
Yes, yeah, so we got the vendors and everything. Now that you say that, shout out to our partners. You know, Wes Hurd did that thing, supporting us, Herbal IQ, Salvatore. I remember Salvatore used to buy out the blocks on TV back in the day, right? You know, so big shout out.
We just talked about that a few weeks ago. Oh,
there you go. See, I really respect that and so happy that we got to connect with them in the Sweet Home District, of course, you know, for hosting, seeing the vision. And, if you guys want to, you know, want to register now, get on Eager to Run, E-A-G-E-R, number two. And run.com. And you can click on it's like four bars on the top right if you're on your phone, and go to races and then look up Buffalo. And then you'll see everything. We got for militaries free, 18 and under free, you know. So all the kids come out, and it's 1 hour and 3 minutes, and you can either. The concept of it is like you versus you, basically. It's no competition. You don't have to have no fight for times unless you want to. How many times can you go around? With that being said, we're hoping to make this an annual event. So you keep your time, and then next year, let's see if you can beat it again or, you know, do something different. But it's just creative, you know, and there's no pressure at all.
I love that.
That's great stuff. And we'll post the info how to register all that stuff on WBEN's pages too, so you can get involved if you or your kids want to do so at Sweet Home on the 19th. All right, Joe mentioned watching the current team out there. You gotta love seeing the Bills do well over the last few years.
Absolutely. How do y'all feel about this everybody eat mantra?
I don't care if one person eats. If I don't care if nobody eats. Uh-huh. If we win.
If we win, if, right?
I mean, if we get 0 yards on offense, and you know, what is that movie they made about Doug Flutie and everyone got sick? It was in the late 90s, and then the Bills go on to the Super Bowl.
The Replacements.
Yeah.
No. Oh. It was featuring the Buffalo Bills. It was like a made-for-TV movie. But the whole thing was they put in a bunch of guys off the street, and then the defense scored like 13 points, and then we won the games. Nobody ate in that. What I'm getting to is nobody ate, but we won. That would still be sweet.
Brian's mentality is scoreboard. Everything else.
That's it, right?
That's good.
That's good. But in a sense, the defense ate.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I say. That's my mindset on it is everybody on the team is eating. You know, when it comes to DBs that we didn't expect to eat, they're eating. The D-line, the linebackers, our main ones got hurt. Now we got guys coming in, and they're eating. You know, and now we can talk about the receivers who everybody thought, hey, you need to have one. You need to have one main. Hey, we got everybody out here doing their thing. So it just kind of blew my mind when I heard some people like say, I don't like this. Everybody eats. We need a main guy. And most time that come from the people that's never been on a team. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like they just watching it and hearing things and thinking you got to have number one, number two receivers. But really all that only matters in the when you negotiate in your contract.
Yeah. Well, you've been both in your career. You've been the guy and you've been part of like an ensemble cast. And when you're the guy, you got to feel that pressure. I mean, can that be detrimental to how you play on the field at all?
No. It's not a bad pressure because, you know, like I said, when we first started, we've been playing this since we was 9, 10. So at that time, you already wired or programmed by coaches or people to tell you got to be the guy. You got to be the one, you know. And so we already got that feeling inside to be the one. So when you working from the bottom of the depth chart like I did, and then you become the guys like, okay, that's cool. The pressure is there. Yeah, it is. But it's nothing that should affect these guys in their situation. I'll tell you a difference, though. When you are the guy up there and you don't have, well, let's just say you are the guy, it's harder. It's actually harder. You know what I'm saying? I can remember sometimes where I would be thinking like, man, can somebody else get some more yards or something or help me with this? Because they got people roll. I'm understanding defenses and how they roll in coverages underneath, over top, and it's like, man, I just somebody else with a name to take this away or whatnot. But you don't speak that out loud. It's just like a thought, you know, an honest thought. And but when you have those everybody eat type pieces, I'm telling you, the field opens up. And I think that's what we're seeing with Josh right now. You know, the field is opening up as opposed to being here for 70% of the time looking and then trying to come back to find some. Now he just dropped back and you can look anywhere because you don't have to be in a certain place, you know.
So. Love it.
I got to ask you this, you know, looking at the new NFL, the new kickoff everyone's talking about, as someone who played in the NFL, what do you think of the new, what do they call it, dynamic?
I'm confused. I don't understand it.
Yeah, the new kickoff.
I don't get it.
It really takes, you know, I look at last weekend, James Madison upset North Carolina. How do they do it? An onside kick out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's completely out of the game now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about health. That's all it is. We want to entertain. We want it all. As fans, as fanatics, we want it all, you know? But, you know, they're also thinking about health and that collision running from this point to that point and having that collision. They want more players to play in a year. I understand the thought process of it. And I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Even though my brother's here right now and we coach high school and we onside kicked every game. Every time we onside kicking. You know what I'm saying? We utilizing it.
That's me and Madden.
Right? You know what I'm saying? We're still out there. But I think they're just trying to, you know, protect the players and change the game like that.
So if you don't remember Stevie Johnson playing, great receiver, almost as great at the celebration after the touchdown. I mean, you were one of the originators of, like, getting this thing going to the point where I think you were maybe the one of the last guys punished before the league decided to embrace it. You know, you were like, you were going over the top, and then finally the league's like, wait, everybody likes this. What are we doing here?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You had the great ones. Everyone remembers Why So Serious, which I don't think people remember. They remember the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remember. Now, I don't remember if it was T.O. or Ocho Cinco.
Both.
They called themselves Batman and Robin.
Yep, yep.
That was the whole reason behind it. So it's even better than like the picture makes it seem. There's a whole thing behind the celebration. You had great celebrations. What do you think of what you see now? If you were to judge some of these touchdown celebrations around the league, I feel like getting the whole team involved, like all these very cute things, I don't know if I like it as much as what you were doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually do. You know, as a person that's celebrated every time that I scored, pretty much every time I scored, I love what I see now from the team perspective to the individuals being creative. You know, I just feel like it's a part of the game. It's like a reward. You know, it's just a reward, especially if you're not being, you know, malicious towards anybody. Go ahead and have fun, celebrate. You did good. So I love what the NFL has turned to. It was funny that happened with T.O. on the field because that's where I adopted that handle business, have fun type style on the field. Going to Candlestick Park and then watching T.O. play. You know, seeing him dance, doing the bounce, he called the bankhead bounce when he scored a touchdown and stuff. It was just like, man, he looked like he having so much fun. And it just so happened to be the time where I'm meeting him and Chad Ocho Cinco, two guys that I would watch as receivers, and they calling themselves Batman and Robin. Going in the locker room, they got magazines with a Batmobile in the in the back and him too, you know, dressed up. So I'm coming to wreck the day, you know. These my guys, but I'm coming to wreck the day, and it was a special one. I had no idea it was gonna be what it was, but I'm happy that it did happen.
I love. There's two things I love about it. The one, why I liked it better when you were doing the celebrations. You mentioned T.O., Joe Horn with the cell phone. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
There's like an outlaw quality to it. Like you're not supposed to do. Now it's welcomed. Like back then, it was like. You're a little bit of an outlaw, a bad guy for doing this, and I loved it. And the other thing is the writing on the T-shirt. That's like the pre-planned, having something ready to go. You see it in soccer every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like someone scores a goal, which might be even tougher than, you know, getting a touchdown if you're like the guy. To have something ready to go under the shirt, like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen,
confidence.
And here it is. Like, that's confidence.
Yeah,
you just said it.
That's nice.
I loved it because I knew if you scored, it's going to be in the open at SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. You know, and for Buffalo, that's when SportsCenter was what everyone was watching.
Right.
And we weren't always on the open at SportsCenter. But if you scored and celebrated, that's going to be in the opening of SportsCenter as they get ready to kick the show off.
Yeah, you know, that's the holistic approach of it all. You know, it wasn't just about the football side of what Stevie was doing. It was like, this guy is actually bringing attention out here to us through these celebrations, through the touchdowns. It's not necessarily just X's and O's. And, you know, that's what I love. That's why we're able to do what we're doing now. When you said children, sparking the mind with children's books, you know, it's about partnership, you know, and that's the teamwork. You know, I'm just bringing everything from the field off the field and still doing it in the business sense, and also helping. So, like, when I talked about the Spark books, like, we have Fred Jackson that we've identified stories with, Ryan Fitzpatrick. We'll be having Eric Woods' book coming out October 19th, which is right after our run. And shout out to Resurgence Brewery, you know, because they'll be hosting everything for us. But it's that collective partnership. And in Buffalo, that's what Bills Mafia is. It's like, it's partnership, it's togetherness. And they understand, they get it. That's why so many events are happening back every month dang there, is because the Mafia understands it, you know. And, you know, we're here to create and provide.
Joe and I both have young kids, and I think we both probably think the same thing every single night. We read these stories to our kids, and, you know, we have a lot of the Bills books, of course. You have to. But every once in a while, you'll read the story and be like, come on, I could do that. Mm-hmm. But how tough is it really to put together a book for kids? It's probably not as easy as we all think as we're reading the stories.
It's easy and it's not, because in a sense it's easy because you can be so simple. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can be simple, and there's brilliance in simplicity. And sometimes the hard part is going back to edit and then trying to break down what you have and take some lines out. Matching images with what's going with the story. That's the only hard part, and that's not really hard. That's fun, though. You know, mm-hmm. That's being able to go back and forth with my partners, Charlie and Zach. So that's the beauty in it. So it's not difficult at all. Waiting for the books to come out is another difficult thing, because they're so good. This Eric Wood book is phenomenal. It taught me things about my teammate that I didn't know while I was playing them or playing against them in Kentucky when we was playing against each other. But, man, his story is amazing. And how we translated that into a simple term, that, mm-hmm. you know, that took some mind power between Charlie, Zach, and I. But, you know, it wasn't as hard as all, but it is good.
You mentioned Kentucky. I wasn't going to ask this, but I have to ask it now. How does Kentucky get blown out by South Carolina and then almost beat Georgia?
Well, I feel like it comes down to pressure. It's like with you have a team that can pressure the quarterback, you got the advantage. If you got a team that can stop that line, you know what I mean, can meet your offensive line at the line of scrimmage and still go downhill, you have a balance in a lead on that team. If you want to identify a good team or a good defense, watch that line or those linebackers. When it's a run play, if those linebackers are still sitting back, that team just may lose, because you're giving up 4 yards almost every time if you're not going downhill and trying to read. And what I saw in that South Carolina game, they had a D-line was more dominant than our offensive line, and it showed. You can't put up numbers on that.
Yeah. Bills Ravens Sunday night. What are you thinking?
I feel like the Bills are gonna win easily. It's just about gang tackling, of course. You know, this is a great Ravens team. This is a great Ravens team because they have a 2-time MVP. So you can never just discredit them or say it's gonna be an easy win per mm-hmm. se. But I feel like we come out and execute the way the Buffalo Bills has been coming out these past 3 weeks on defense and offense, of course, primarily on defense, because once we shut down the running attack, which is what Baltimore is known for, we shut that down, you go see a flat team, you know, because our DBs, Taylor Rapp in the back, Damar Hamlin, what they've been doing is solidifying that air attack. You know what I'm saying? Nobody has been passing all over the place on us. Yeah, Lamar's 2-time MVP. He got some good players, but you think they really go dominate us in the air? I don't think so. Have they been beating us in the past? I don't think so. So I feel like we'll come in there, or the Buffalo Bills will come in there with an attitude and a confidence. Like, this team isn't on our level, and, you know, we go handle our business on Showtime again, so y'all can see what we about. and move on to Houston Texans. And that's the game that I really would be looking for.
That's a big game.
That's one. We can look ahead now. You're not on the team anymore. You can look ahead on the schedule.
That's
why I love looking ahead. And, I look ahead every week.
Dude, that's the team that I was looking at. I felt like that Houston game is once the Bills win, that's when we want to check and see, okay, are they going to start chilling and being like, okay, we did it now. We've accomplished getting over those personal humps in a sense. But right now, these games, Baltimore, Jacksonville. I felt like Jacksonville is going to be a blowout too. You know, honestly, guys, you think Jacksonville is the team that's going to beat us? If the Bills are thinking about Super Bowl, everything that they've been through, was it really a trap game? No, every game is a trap game for the Bills when you got Josh Allen on your team. So, you know, that's not nothing. And I feel like he's mature enough and got his team mature to where they don't get clouded by any of that anymore. You know, they don't get clouded by nothing except for the Kansas City Chiefs. We got to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC and then go on to beating the NFC beast. You know,
let's do it. Let's do it. Love to hear it. Love the positive thoughts around the Bills. And again,
from the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Love that you're back here in Buffalo and sticking around doing stuff in the community, including, again, Saturday, October 19th, 8 a.m., Sweet Home High School, a great walk, run event that you can take part of and meet Stevie Johnson, eager2run.com. We'll put that link up there. Stevie, thank you.
Yeah, Stevie, thank you so much.
Thank y'all. This was cool. Make sure everybody y'all handle business, have fun, and repeat.
Great stuff. Stevie Johnson, B-Maz and Beamer will be back here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. Big thanks to Stevie Johnson for joining us the first half of the show.
That was very cool. By the way, Mark Morrison, one-hit wonder on National One-Hit Wonder Day. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. Happy.
Happy.
Do you think he wants to be wished a happy one-hit wonder day?
No, and you know what? He liked one of my tweets.
Might as well call it a happy All Your Other Songs Suck Day.
No, not my opinion. I have his album, and it's actually pretty good. But it is, I just wanted to throw that out there. Very cool to speak to Stevie. And I love that Stevie is still so involved in the community, doing an event tonight, coming back, going to your alma mater, halfway through October. Very good to see him and his excitement for Buffalo.
I love it. I said it at the start of the, I love any time, whether you're, you know, a past player and you stick around here in Buffalo or just come back to visit a lot, or you're active in Buffalo and Western New York, I love to see it. And you don't see it quite as much with current players either. I mean, during the season, you see it a lot, but like year round, it's when I love when I see it, current player. It's why Kyle Opposo, you know, just retired, was my favorite Sabre for years, because he was like the only guy on the team who would, you'd see, like, there'd be a summer event with Sabres, and he'd be there.
Yeah.
You know, you're still here. Like, that's nice. You care. And you know, that something like that will make you my favorite player, hands down, easy. And, you know, love Stevie for hanging around Western New York.
As much as people like to, you know, cut down Western New York, we love when people want to, when people from outside our community want to embrace it.
Do you think there's something to, like, the touchdown celebration thing? Do you like it now more or back then more?
You put it perfectly. I never thought of it that way. The outlaw thing.
Yeah.
When it was, you know, oh, you threw a football in the crowd, $10,000. Oh, you pulled out a prop, $10,000. That there was something about that. Like, that player did not care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to celebrate this touchdown. That's how much it means to me.
Now everybody celebrates the touchdowns. The whole team gets involved. You're posing for pictures. You're pretending to row a boat. You're doing like all this stuff.
It makes you think they're using practice time to coordinate these celebrations.
Yeah, like you get promoted by the league. Like, you know there's going to be no repercussions.
Yeah.
Like when Stevie Johnson was playing, and I said he was kind of the last of it, because after him is when the NFL pretty much changed the rules and said, like, all right, let's embrace this now. But it was him. It was T.O., you know, pre Bills T.O.
When T.O. would run to the middle of the field.
So when he would score touchdowns. it was, you know, Joe Horn with the cell phone that he hid under, you know, making the call to mom or whatever. You know, like all these guys who it was like you were the bad boy of the NFL for doing the touchdown celebration. They showed the highlights all, you know, after every game. Chris Berman would have the highlight of the touchdown celebration. He's going to get fined for that. It was the talk of the league for like an entire week. They'd keep showing it. That's just, I can't believe my kids are watching. You know, like all that kind of stuff would happen. And it was cool.
Yeah.
Like you were an outlaw for doing it. And now it's just, you know, it's not like I have any problem with touchdown celebration. It is funny when you see teams do the elaborate celebration, the touchdown gets called back.
Oh, when it's not the Bills, one of my favorite things.
Yeah, that's super funny.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I just, not saying it's lame, but it's not as cool as it was when he was doing it.
I actually this happened in college a few weeks ago, not to Tech, but it happened in college a few weeks ago. They over-celebrated the touchdown, got a flag for it, and the kicker missed the extra point. Now that, it would have been a tying touchdown, but because of the penalty, backed up the point after attempt and missed it.
That's pretty funny.
I thought it was funny.
I like that one, too. but no, there was something about it. But like back in the day, it was the popcorn bucket, standing in the middle of the field.
Loved that. As much as I did not like T.O. until he came to Buffalo, when he went in Dallas and stood in the star, hilarious.
Yeah. And then Stevie Johnson, who had, I mean, I said it when he was here. It wasn't just because he was here. Insincerity, one of my favorite things, because Christian Pulisic did this once against Mexico in soccer, where you'll write something on the shirt. It's not just that he wrote stuff on his shirt. He wrote something on his shirt, pointed at the team you were playing, knowing before the game, I'm going to score, and then I'm going to show this off to, like, that's confidence that is, like, smart, because it's not just a celebration. It's like, yeah, I'm looking at you. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
Yeah, and like I said, I loved when SportsCenter was what I would watch getting ready for school or work, depending on the season we're talking about. And Stevie Johnson's in the SportsCenter Open. Because, Brian, let's admit it, Buffalo was not featured on SportsCenter a lot in our younger years. And that was pretty cool to see him in the Open.
Hardly, unless it was Chris Berman.
Of course, yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
That was it. So if he was on TV, you pay attention. Anyone else, like, yeah, they're not going to show much of us. Eventful morning here. My phone is just being blown up all throughout the morning. My dog, and then indirectly, now my wife got skunked this morning.
Oh, hate to hear it.
So my dog, I have two, and Lila, my girl dog, who she's a dog. I don't know what breed. Like, I have no idea. No one knows.
Big dog.
See, I wouldn't say big. You say big.
Yeah. Bigger than my dog.
Yes, but I wouldn't say big. I would say medium size.
Oh, I think you have two large dogs.
They're like, 50-ish pounds.
Yeah, like, if I got to pick the dogs in my house, I'd have the dogs your dog size. Like, I feel safe around your dogs.
If I really got to pick, I'd have like a Great Dane.
Oh, okay.
Newfoundland to me, like Newfoundland and up, like that's a big dog to me. Because my grandmother had Newfoundlands, and like that I was used to, like, okay, that's a big dog, but like anything bigger than that seemed really big to me. Anything smaller seemed like, it's not that big.
Yeah.
But she's tall, 50 pounds or so.
Right.
Hops the fence.
Lots of room for the skunk to aim.
Yeah. She can jump like a kangaroo and will hop the fence in our yard. Has done it before and did it again this morning, and this time got herself skunked. And then I guess when my wife was out grabbing her and bringing her back, some of it must have wiped off on her.
Mm.
She went to work, and then they said, "You reek, leave," which is hilarious. I'm sorry. And so now they're both skunked. So now I'm coming home to a smelly house.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be the one cleaning up.
But, like, what's the best way? So it's not the first time that that's happened.
Same dog?
Same dog. Mm. But, like, the first time was just, it was, like, a little bit of skunked. Like, you got, like, a pfft, you know, one of those little things from the skunk. Or maybe just, like, brushed up against an area where a skunk just sprayed. It wasn't a direct hit, I don't think. And I used the Dawn hydrogen peroxide and water solution. I read that online, and it worked really well. But from what I'm hearing via text message, it's not working as well with the full-on skunking.
Ooh.
What's the answer? 803-0930 for anyone who wants to join us here.
Tomato juice, right? Am I making that up?
That doesn't work.
Okay.
But that's like
people
what everybody has
that.
Said.
Okay.
And I think that somebody said that's only for people, not for dogs. I've heard that.
Makes sense.
Somebody, I've also heard that that's what you're supposed to do. And then I've also heard that it doesn't work regardless. Like that was something somebody made up one time and it just became the popular thing.
Now, if I remember correctly, when Chucky got skunked on.
Yeah, so this is the problem, rats. Is when you're taking the information from child cartoons as like this is the thing you're supposed to do in a certain situation.
If I remember correctly, Chucky took a mud bath,
okay,
and that got rid of the skunking smell. Again, I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah.
Do you think she was chasing the skunk and that's why she was sprayed?
Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah,
so that would
both
get
my dogs will
chase.
Yeah, if you are a smaller animal in my yard, you better be fast or you're dead.
Okay. So that makes sense.
I've seen it. Like, it's not going to be a good ending for you.
Do you think there's a dead skunk somewhere?
No.
Okay.
It rarely ever catches anything.
Okay.
It's like you got to be a fat rabbit and like kind of not be able to squeeze through everything to be caught. Because she's kind of fast, but not as fast as a lot of these.
So we've thrown everything at the skunking, Brian, and you're looking for something that's more reliable than the three things we've mentioned.
So on the text board, 803-0930, on the text board, somebody saying, I heard there's some pet stores that actually offer a product that actually works for a skunk stench. Yeah, what is it? Like, because there's a million of these things. If you look it up online, everyone's got the answer. Joe has tomatoes and mud. Susan, who her dog was skunked not that long ago, she gave me a recommendation that I'm like, all right, I'll buy this. Sure. Like I'll throw everything at it.
Yeah.
As long as they don't like cancel each other out.
Right.
You know, when you put both, I'll throw everything at this. So we're getting what she said, the poof or something that she got. She said it's a spray, not a shampoo that actually worked. I'll use anything that might actually work here.
I'm so glad this hasn't happened to my dog, because I'd be like, I would not know. Once one thing didn't work, I would lose all confidence that anything is going to get rid of the skunking.
The thing is, like, I need to do this now.
Yeah. Before it sets in.
Before it starts to waft through the area. And it's good that it's a nice day out right now, because if it was raining and stuff like that, like, and she had to be inside,
the house would be stinking.
Yeah, the house would, and that's just not a smell you get rid of easily.
No, it lingers, like the BO in the Seinfeld car.
Well, now my wife said, apparently the skunk scent, it sets in after a little bit. Like, it doesn't smell as bad initially, and then, like, after a little while, it starts to stink, because she went into work thinking like, all right, I feel like there's a little lingering smell maybe, but I washed it all out. Like, I don't think I'm bad. And then it got a little worse.
Oh, wow.
I said maybe your nose adjusts to it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't get worse. It would have gone from worse to better.
Right, but like, that's why she thought she was better.
Right.
She had been smelling it for an hour or so. And it's like, all right, I think I washed all this off. But actually, you've now adapted to stink.
Yeah, your nose takes that as the norm.
All right, so what do we got here? We got de-skunk, the poof. All right, now we got a lot of poof recommendations, so we're using that right away. Someone say, use coffee filters with coffee in every room that absorbs the skunk odor. Huh. Never thought. Now, I don't have any coffee or coffee filters.
I was going to say, if you need some coffee... We have a ton
here. We don't drink coffee, but I've never heard of that before. That's not bad. Somebody else saying, we know the skunk thing because my husband works with nuisance animals. Hydrogen peroxide with Dawn and a little bit of salt will help for the hands. And then use poop for the dog. Okay, there you go.
Ooh, baking soda and dish soap. I've heard that one before, too.
Now, that sounds like it's going to create some sort of chemical reaction. doesn't it?
Yeah, I hope not.
And it, baking soda with anything, aren't you used to that just all of a sudden foaming out of a fake volcano?
Well, I would use baking soda and dish soap, except beside this next one, I wouldn't spray the dog down with Febreze.
Right. But somebody, that would be their first.
Yeah. That's again, you want to get rid of the smell without harming the dog.
What, would Febreze harm the dog?
I don't, it's not meant to spray on contact.
Yeah, that's right. It's not meant for... It's like you're not supposed to Lysol yourself.
Right.
Don't Lysol your armpits in lieu of deodorant.
Right, no.
That's what I've heard.
I would not spray the dog.
Don't Febreze the dog?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, I'll try not to. I don't... Usually, I'm clueless about these products, too, because I generally don't like them.
Right.
Like, I like the deodorizers, like the little canisters that you might put in a corner somewhere that, like, suck up moisture. Oh, yeah. And, like, I think those work all right, but, like, the Febreze smell, the, like, plug-in things, anything that, psst, like, shoots out a scent or any, I cannot stand those.
You're not a fan of something that masks
yes.
a smell. You want the smell to be gone
Gives
for good.
Gives me a huge headache.
Yeah. A lot of people like to mask the smell instead of get rid of the smell.
Cannot handle them. You know, I can't handle them.
You know who likes to mask? This is going to upset a lot of listeners, and I'm sorry. People who own cats, they love to mask the smell because you can't get rid of that litter box smell.
You can't.
No.
So we won't have a cat in the house.
My parents at one time owned two cats, and I love my parents to death. Love them dearly. Love their
Actually,
house.
Actually, if I get a cat, that stink might overpower the skunk. And then I'd be...
Which one would you rather? Let's pick a stench to live with.
Be honest here. Yeah, I guess that the skunk would be for now.
And I grew up with cats. We had cats the whole time growing up. Cats and dogs in the Beamer house. My parents have neither now. But the room the litter box was in, which was in the basement, a lot of, so it didn't spread throughout the house. But that room stunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and people like to mask that smell.
That's why I told my wife, when we started living together, it was... She loved all that kind of stuff. She's like, we got to make it smell fresh. And all you're doing is just, you're not doing any. One, we're not stinky, gross people. Like, it doesn't, there's right. not like a bad scent that you really have to cover up here.
There is right now.
There is now.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, like, we're not, that doesn't exist.
I've never walked into your house and go, Brian needs a Febreze.
Yeah. But like, she loved that stuff. And my argument was always, you're just adding more smells. Like anytime, the bathroom, it's popular to have the spray in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I always hated the spray in the bathroom because it would, you'd go, you'd do your business, and it would smell like you know what. And if somebody used the spray, then it would smell like you know what and spray.
That's right. That's a good point.
You're just adding more smells to the problem.
Except there is, I forgot the name of it, we used to sell at Bed Bath & Beyond, where you would spray it in the bowl.
Yeah, I know it.
And that gets rid of the smell.
I know it. Now, I don't like it.
I do have to say, I am a candle fan. Like, I like a good wood-wick candle.
A candle,
I
don't love it. It's better than any of those, like, chemical products.
A good wood-wick candle, where you hear the, while it's burning, I'm a fan.
We've settled on, I've let her do the oils. You know those things, like the essential, the oil diffuser?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have, it's not like we have it going all the time, but I'll let her do one of those once in a while. Because that's not as bad. It's not like a Lysol spray hitting your nose or anything.
Yeah, my wife used to have one of those. I might have made fun of it too many times because I haven't seen it in years.
They're fine. Like, they're okay.
Yeah.
It's not my,
I like the
I would never do it, but.
The wax burners are my favorite because there's no flame. I don't have to, me, OCD, mm-hmm. I will run downstairs 8 times to make sure the candle's blown out.
See, I feel like the wax burner would almost be more dangerous than the little candle flame.
But I can just unplug it. Don't have to worry about a switch. Oh, look, it's unplugged. Boom. I'm going to bed.
There you go.
Yeah.
I do have one fake spray in the house for the Christmas tree.
Ah, yes.
The fake Christmas tree scent, you spray it on there, and then people come over like, oh, wow, did you just get this? Like, no. 15 years ago.
I get the ornaments that smell like Christmas tree, and you put them throughout the tree.
See, but is it too much?
I don't think so. But this year, we don't have that problem in the Beamer house, because I've told my wife we're getting 2 Christmas trees, the one we've always had, and then a real one.
You're so getting a real tree this year?
Yeah.
Why?
She might be hearing this for the first time.
Why?
I want a real tree. I grew up with real trees. I want a real tree.
You have like more space for it now. You're thinking like now's the time.
I want two Christmas trees this year, one upstairs, one downstairs, and
chop it down?
Come on. No. I can't even do anything to my car. No, I'll go get it pre-chopped.
Oh, come on.
Brian. Chop it down, you'll be without a co-host.
Oh my. You can chop down a Christmas tree.
Nah.
To me, if I'm getting a real tree, like I think, like we've talked about this. We have the fake tree. I'm sure we'll do a real tree at least once.
Right.
The whole point of doing the real experience. Tree is to go find the tree, chop it down, do all that stuff.
Maybe. Maybe when my son's older. We'll make it a family thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not this year. This year, I'm just going to go to a Christmas tree farm. Thank you.
Go around the corner from my place.
Yeah. Tie it on the car.
Have that. They wrap it. They send it through that chute.
I like that.
Bundles it all up.
By the way, someone says, your poop stinks too, boys. Yes. And it doesn't sit in a box of sand waiting for someone to scoop it up.
My mom's cat, she had for a little while, trained to go in the toilet.
You serious?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like to meet the parents?
Yeah, it couldn't flush, but
still, probably smells better sitting in water.
Yeah, it was good.
That's impressive. How did
you
do
that? Well, it didn't last.
Oh.
There's a whole system. You put treats like on a... You can't use that toilet.
Oh.
For while the training process is going on.
Okay.
So like, if you can deal with a month of...
The bathroom being off
one limits. Toilet that you can't use in your house, you might be able to do it, but
yeah, I'm good. I'm a dog guy. I love my dog.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You got Hardline coming up on Sunday.
Hardline. We are speaking with the Comptroller of New York State, Brian. Thomas DiNapoli will join us to talk about what's going on throughout New York State. We have Michael Crocker. He is campaigning in Pennsylvania for president. He's not campaigning for himself. He's campaigning for president in Pennsylvania. We'll talk with them much, much more on Hardline Sunday. And then Brian and I will be right back here on Monday. And following the news with Lucas Buckley, it is David Bellavia on News Radio 930. WBEN, have a great weekend. Go Hokies, go Mets, go Bills. We'll talk to you Sunday.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.